Mine was awesome. It was an awesome week this week. Like, wow. I actually got to see the Lord move. Isn't that cool? I seen Him move. Huh? Isn't that a little exciting? That's exciting. I seen the Lord move. Man. Praise the Lord. Well, I've been working on sermon this week. It's interesting because the Lord kind of, does that seem really loud or am I really louder? It's just my big mouth. One or the other. That's okay. Go with it. Yep. I think that's a good idea. I think the Lord knew what I'd be dealing with, and He gives you things to get you through that, doesn't He? Huh? He does. Thank you, Julie. I don't sound so ugly. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. This is kind of a, you guys look at the bulletin what the sermon title is this morning? Idols, trials, and crowns. Seem like they seem to be the things farthest from the togetherness, truth. Let's see what the Lord's got in store. He's going to bring something together. I want you to see something. But first, we better go to the Lord in prayer because I need all the help I can get. Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Father, we have to bow down before the God and Creator of the universe. We're in total awe of how awesome You are. You're so incredible, and we just praise You, Father. We thank You. We can do nothing but lift up our praise to You because You are so worthy. Father, be with us this morning. Father, just allow Your Holy Spirit to work and move in our hearts and our minds. And Father, just use my mouth and I just step out of the way and You can use me to let these precious saints know how awesome You are. Father, we just thank and we praise You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I got to see God work this week. It was pretty cool. Interestingly enough, I think I get to see God work every week. You know what I'm saying? You just got to keep your eyes open to see it, right? You know what I mean? And 1 Corinthians 10, you ever been underneath a trial situation and somebody says, Lord won't give you more than you can bear? And you just like to punch them right in the mouth. Huh? You ever been there? Am I the only one to think, why would you tell me that? So you know me, I'm thinking, that's a neat verse. Why don't we just look at that verse? Why don't we just study that verse? Why don't we just break that verse down and just see what in the world he's talking about? Huh? So 1 Corinthians, if you know anything about the book of 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of stuff going on. Paul wrote this letter. 10th chapter is kind of interesting because it starts out, it's just, you don't want them to be ignorant about the Jewish people and what they had done and suffered and the stupidity that they had done. And that's the best word I came for. Because he goes through and says, you know, all the people, they died because they grumbled. You ever grumble? You guys never do. You never, God, why? Huh? He's okay with that. He really is. But I think the grumbling they had here was, they weren't trusting Him. They grumbled because they said, we're going to die! And that's what they're going, we're going to starve to death! I think I told you a story about my granddaughter once when it was wintertime, and she knelt down and we were somewhere, and she got her leg wet. And she goes, my leg is wet! I'm like, it'll never dry! I'm like, what's the matter with you? You know what I mean? But it was like, isn't that like us, though? Isn't that like us? We're like, God, Jesus! He's like, dude, it's tomorrow's coming. You know, take it easy. You know what I'm saying? I think we get into a silliness, but basically the first part of Corinthians chapter 10, just talking about the stuff that he did. We could have read it, but I don't think we got time. So I'm kind of noted for going long. Sorry. But I want to read out a message. I want you to just hear this verse and we're going to go with it. Message Bible here says, I want to just read this to you. Listen. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. Okay? All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Okay? He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there for you. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Okay? Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm thinking that verse, that's just pathetic. Huh? Let me read to you how the Amplified. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. It's a human trial. And that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. The trials and troubles that you're facing, somebody else, somewhere else has faced that. Kind of nice to know, isn't it? That's cool. I'm not alone. The only reason we don't think my problem is the worst problem in the whole world and no one has ever had it, because we never look around at other people. Just take a look around. Just start talking to people. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people got a lot of stuff happening out there. Okay. That's just only halfway through the verse. Amplified. It says, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. Can you believe that God is faithful? Some days do you doubt Him? Some days when you look at your situation, your life, you think, See, life is understood looking backwards. The older you get, you look back at your life and say, I can see actually God doing something there. When it didn't look like He was doing something there, I can look back and see that. But life is lived looking forward. We live going forward. And we can't always see what trials and troubles we're going to get into, right? We don't know. Boy, God is faithful. Amplified says, to His Word, to His compassionate nature. My definition of compassion is your pain in my heart. Compassion is your pain in my heart. Wow. And He can be trusted, Amplified says, not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. That's a lot of words. I'm not done yet. It's going on. But with the temptation, He will always also provide the way out, the means of escape. And Martin Vincent puts down, it's a way to escape to a landing place, a place where you can stand. I'm under all this stuff, but I got this place that I can stand. Greek says it's a landing place. That you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Verse 14. Therefore, my dearly beloved, shun, keep clear away from, avoid by flight, if need be, any sort of idolatry, of loving or venerating anything more than God. So I thought, you know, he's talking about idolatry here. He's talking about all this stuff in the beginning of Corinthians. And he's got this verse 13 that says, you know, you're not going to be tempted above what you're able. So we take it in context, and he's talking about idolatry. Wow. Then I got to looking at that. Deuteronomy. Let's go to the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, we're looking at chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Pretty simple to get there. I want to read you a little something. Because I started looking at idolatry. Any of you guys got an idol at your house? You guys got an altar somewhere at your house and you keep an idol or something? Nobody. I mean, is there anything you have an idol at your house? I mean, I'm just curious. Is there an idol here in the church? I don't see one, right? Don't look like that. Wow. You might change your mind after we read this. Wow. Because I was looking at idol. I'll give you the definition of idol. Just that here. I looked up several different ones. It says, an idol is an image or other material object to which religious worship is addressed. Okay. Hence, a false god or fictitious divinity. That sounds like Webster, doesn't it? It's a fictitious divinity. You know what I mean? It's a big word. Okay. Any person or thing that is the object of blind adoration. And then, I was looking at this preacher, this guy. I like this preacher, this guy. his definition is really easy, simple. It says, something that satisfies you more than God. Wow. And his thing is, you're watching that football game instead of watching me. And I'm thinking, wow, can that be an idol? And then I get to thinking, is there something that satisfies me more than God? Do you really feel satisfied when you're in God's presence, when you're studying your word? I mean, you study and say, I got a teacher. Do we do that? You know, I think it's borderline idol. Man, I thought, wow, that hurts, God. What are you trying to tell me? Wow. Anything that satisfies you more than God. Wow. Okay. Let's read Deuteronomy 4 here. Moses is giving a little bit of a thing here. He's talking to the children of Israel. We know that they say, have no other gods before me, Ten Commandments. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to read just a little bit here. It kind of, in verse 12, it says, the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. He's talking to them. When God spoke to the children of Israel out of the mountain, the fire, couldn't seem, it's just his voice, big thundering voice. That's what he's talking about. When God spoke to you out of the midst of the fire, you heard the voice of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tables of stone. Okay. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the statutes and precepts that you might do them in the land which you are going over to possess. Verse 15. Therefore, take good heed to yourselves, since you saw no form of him on the day the Lord spoke to you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. There was no form. Verse 16. Beware, lest you become corrupt by making for yourselves to worship a graven image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Verse 13. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, or of any winged fowl that flies in the air. Kind of covering the bases here, isn't it? Verse 18. The likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or any other fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Kind of covering the bases here, isn't it? Verse 19. And beware lest you lift up your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, moon, and stars, even all the hosts of the heavens, you be drawn away and worship them and serve them. Things which the Lord your God has allotted to all nations under the whole heaven. Kind of covering the bases. But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of an iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be to him a people of his own possession, as you are this day. Moses is saying there ain't nothing. He covered the sky, the ground, the creepy things, the fish in the sea, I mean the stars, the heavens, the big stuff. There is nothing you worship as a God. No form. He said that several times. No form. There's a voice. No form. I thought, wow, how's that tie in with trials and crowns? You guys got any idea? I didn't either. Still don't. We're going to keep looking though. All right, let's keep going. So, in Deuteronomy, we're going to go back to Corinthians. But when we go back to Corinthians, why don't you stop in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter, the first chapter. Let's just stop there. I want to show you something. There's something here I want you to see. I want you to understand. We all realize that God is faithful, right? All right, you're all wondering, how did I see God work this week? My younger brother Mike farms. He's been sick for about 4 weeks. He's been to the doctor several times. He's got just from here to here, just hurt. Everything hurt. Just hurt. He got to the point where he's not eating, can't sleep. He hasn't probably eaten in probably almost 3.5 weeks now. He hasn't been able to sleep for probably a week, 2 weeks. I mean, he's just catnaps, he can't sleep, hurts so bad, cannot sit, cannot stand, cannot do anything, cannot get comfortable, cannot ride, it's getting bad. Went to the doctor, he said he had a bruised bowel. Whatever a bruised bowel is, I don't have any idea. That was 3 weeks ago. So, he wasn't getting any better. Still fighting. Goes to another, same doctor, do some more tests, can't see anything, la la la. They're going to do a CAT scan, last week Thursday, in the morning, to get the CAT scan results. Thursday afternoon, they called my brother and said, you need to get to the emergency room immediately. So he goes up, calls me and says, hey, I'm on the way to the emergency room. They didn't tell me why. I'm just headed up there. Okay. So I head that way. Get up there. He had a blood clot in the return artery from his bowel. Was not allowing any blood to go through his bowel. Which means anytime you eat, the thing is messed up. They said it gets waterlogged and nasty and gets filled up with junk. And they said, the doctor said that it was really close to being him getting dead. Dead. He hasn't eaten. He hasn't eaten in 3 weeks. So they put him in mid into the hospital. He's still there, actually. It was Thursday night. I was up and saw him last night, second time. Everything, his numbers are doing well. Everything is getting better. He still has not eaten a thing. They won't give him anything to eat because they want that to heal as much as possible. Said he was hungry this morning. 10 o'clock, the doctor was going to go in and they were going to start on liquids, real thin liquid stuff. Doctor said, we don't want to do surgery. We absolutely don't want to do surgery. And I said, okay, we'll pray that. We're not going to do surgery. We're going to let God do his thing. You know what? Talked to my brother this morning. He sounds a lot better. He's on the mend, I believe. And I thought, isn't that God working? Isn't that God working? Huh? Well, I said, you sleeping okay? Like a baby. I'm sleeping like a baby. I've been up helping my son and my son do the farming, you know what I mean? I've been sleeping like a baby. Huh? We just oats yesterday. I mean, I got home last night at 10:30. I'm sleeping like a baby. Huh? Yeah. And I thought, isn't God good? I don't have to... You know, I can stress and worry and fuss about stuff, but there's a point in time when I'm going to have to get some sleep. I'm sorry. God's going to be up all night anyway. I'm going to let him deal with it. And he did. Isn't that cool? What if he wouldn't have? What if my brother had been home to be with the Lord? Wow. We're going to look at that. So I've been thinking about that. And this ties in so awesome with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read something to you here. Verse 4, starting verse 4 says, I thank my God at all times for you because of the grace, the favor, and spiritual blessing of God which was bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. Who's he talking about here? You guys. He's talking about you guys. He said, I'm thanking you for the spiritual grace that's been bestowed upon you in Christ Jesus. Wow. Verse 5, so that in him, in every respect, you were enriched in full power and readiness to speak your faith and complete knowledge and illumination to give you full insight into its meaning. You mean to tell me that in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the grace of God that I can go out and speak my faith and I don't have to be really super learned and intelligent? I can be stupid like me and actually run my mouth and talk to people and they'll understand what I'm saying? Wow. Yeah. So you ain't got an excuse to say, well, I don't talk well. I don't say much. I got a big mouth. I just don't say much. Huh? Go on. In this way, verse 6, in this way, our witnessing concerning Christ, the Messiah, was so confirmed and established and made sure in you that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace. You ain't lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace. That's some big words, isn't it? The reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in your souls by the Holy Spirit. Wow. While you wait and watch, constantly living in hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and His being made visible to all. Verse 8. He will establish you to the end. He will keep you steadfast, give you strength, and guarantee your vindication. He will be your warrant against all accusation or indictment, so you will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Verse 9, God is faithful. God is faithful. It says reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to His promise. He can always be depended on. Always. By Him you were called into companionship and participation with the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called into participation and companionship with Jesus Christ our Lord. What did He do? Wow. You know, God is a God of broken. Like Dougie's... me and Dougie didn't talk about what He's going to do to devotion this morning, but it fit right in with what we're talking about here. Les said it last week. Is anything too hard for our God? Do you believe that? Is anything too hard for our God? We can't believe it, can we? We cannot believe it. Oh, there's got to be something. There's got to be something you already can't do. I've been praying for this thing for like 2 years, and I still ain't got an answer. It might be too hard for him. Huh? God is faithful. Remember what I said about when we look at our life, we understand our life looking backwards. We understand it looking back. We can't see it when we're in the midst of the problem. We can't see it when we're in the midst of the mess. I could lose sleep and be all nervous and worried about it. And my brother, and it's like, you know what? If God takes him home, I know where he's going. Isn't that cool? Trials, right? You guys, any trials in your life? Anything? Minuscule. Hardly worth mentioning. Huh? We all got stuff, don't we? We all got stuff. Just start talking to people. We got stuff. Huh? God's faithful. So 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation or trial that you're facing is anything new. It's a human experience. It's nothing new. It's all stuff. People somewhere have dealt with this. And you know what? They came through it. Huh? A.W. Tozer, I wrote this down. I thought this is kind of. He says, when we think we are tempted above all others, we should remember, however, that there have been saints that have been crossed, that have crossed the briar patch where we are now, and they got through all right. A.W. Tozer, if we believe God, we will too. And I thought, wow. It's only our own lack of knowledge of the trials of others that leads us to imagine our trials are unique. When you think you're the only one that has a problem, well, so we got trials. We're talking about trials. Let's go look at something. I want to look at a couple of things. Let's go to the book of James. We're going to go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I'm doing a little reading here, but I want you to get kind of a handle on this a little bit. James chapter 4, we'll read verses 5 through 10. It says, "Or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose? It says, the Spirit whom He has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and He yearns for the Spirit to be welcomed with a jealous love." God's a jealous God, isn't He? But He's jealous of you. Isn't that cool? He wants you to talk to Him. He's jealous when you don't talk to Him. He's jealous. That cat one time. You were a cat in the house? Didn't like it either, unless. Okay. That cat in the house. Climb the curtains. Cats climb stuff. They climb the curtain. I mean, you could do whatever. It would climb the curtain. So I got a water pistol. And the cat's climbing the curtain, and I start squirting in the face. And the cat's like, and it jumps in my arm. And there it is. Safe. Never climbed the curtain again. So I thought, you know, isn't that like God? We're climbing the curtain. And He's like, you don't need to be there. I'm going to squirt you with water pistol. And we jumped into His arms. And the cat didn't even know I was the one that was antagonizing it. It didn't know. And it jumped. And it's safe. The water quit. It's safe. It's a stupid cat. But see what I'm saying? I think that's what God does to us sometimes. He's like, you got no business being there. I'm going to squirt you with a water pistol. You're going to come back and jump into my arm. Isn't that cool? Huh? It's a good analogy, isn't it? Let's keep reading here. All right. James chapter 4. We'll keep moving here. Verse 6, but He gives us more and more grace. Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That's what the Amplified says. That is why He says, God sets Himself against the proud and the haughty, gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. These are some big verses here in James. Verse 7, so be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against Him, and He'll flee. Wow. Verse 8, come close to God. He will come close to you. Recognize you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize, the Amplified says, realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. Verse 9. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve. Even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. Have you ever wept over a sin that you committed? I don't think I ever have. You? Have you ever felt so bad about something you did because you offended God that you were like, it beat me to the ground. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been there? No, we don't. Because you know what? We say, Father, forgive me of my sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive me. Isn't that easy? He's saying you need to be penitent. You need to be crying. Let your laughter. You need to be crying. Verse 10. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord. Don't you feel so tiny in His presence? He's so huge. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. This exalt you means He will lift you up and make your life significant. Do you feel useless sometimes? Do you feel like all the stuff you're doing don't mean nothing to anybody? You humble yourself before God. He said, I'll make your life significant. That's something? Wow. So we're still talking about trials anyway. Man, we're talking about all this stuff and things we can do and all this stuff. While we're right here, let's go to James chapter 1. I want to read something else to you. A lot of stuff here. I want to get you someplace. So, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who is patient under trial. I don't like that verse. I want to take it out of there and throw it away. Huh? You ever read a verse of Scripture and say, I don't like that at all? There's no reason that should be in there. I'm going to write my own version and leave that verse out. You ever do that? Me neither. The man who is patient, or woman, the person, the individual, the person who is patient under trial. Well, I don't like that. And stands up under temptation. I really don't like that. I see that chocolate cake sitting on the counter, I think, you shouldn't eat another piece. You had one already. Looks pretty good. That frosting was really good. Tasted good. You ever had? That tasted really good. You know, I got some brand new fresh whole milk in the fridge. Man, that cake in that bowl with some milk. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know. See what I'm saying? Temptation. That's temptation. I don't like the verse. I don't like the verse. I got to read it. Okay. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Wow. A victor's crown of life. Isn't that something? So if you're under trial, temptation, and you patiently endure it, how long do I have to patiently endure it until it's enough? How long do I patiently endure it until it's done? How long is good enough? Is that good enough? I've been up. That's good enough, isn't it? If you got to ask that question, you ain't been under it long enough because you ain't learned nothing. That's from experience. So he's going to give you a victor's crown of life. I was looking at that. There's seven crowns in the New Testament. This is one of them. Victor's crown of life. And I thought, you know, as a child of the Almighty God, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right? I'm a child of God. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I have no doubt about it. What's this victor's crown of life? I ain't wearing one now. What's this victor's crown of life? Oh, well, I started looking at it. Let's go to Revelation. We're almost there. Revelation. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at the letter to the church of Smyrna. Smyrna. Something pronounced it Smyrna. I want to read something to you here. And to the angel of the assembly or church in Smyrna write, These are the words of the first and the last who died and came to life again. Now, who is that guy? He's the name of the first and the last. He died and he came back to life again. Who's that? Jesus, right? Christ, right? Okay. These are his words. These are his words. Verse 9. I know your affliction and distress and pressing trouble and your poverty. I know you got all kind of bad stuff. My Amplified has a slice to it. It says, but you're rich! Really? Really? I got trouble, distresses, I'm in poverty, and all this stuff, but I'm rich? Let's read on. And how you are abused and reviled and slandered by those who say they're Jews or not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. These guys are getting slandered, abused, reviled from people that are hating them. Wow. Don't seem very good so far, does it? Verse 10. Fear nothing that you are about to suffer. Fear nothing. This doesn't say don't fear about the stuff you're suffering now. It says that you're about to. You think it was bad now? Wait till tomorrow. The Amplified says, dismiss your dread and your fears. Behold, the devil is indeed about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested and proved, critically appraised, and for 10 days you'll have affliction. Be loyally faithful unto death, even if you must die for it, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, interesting, when you start reading this verse, Satan is going to test you. He's going to put you in prison, and it's going to last for 10 days. 10 days doesn't really have a significance of the number, but it's a number. You say, you know what? That leg is going to hurt you until August 15th. You're going to be good. That arm that hurts, August 2nd, it won't hurt no more. There's a date. So when you think, hang on, but the second's coming. You know what I'm saying? It gives you something to look for. That's what he's trying to say here. This 10 days, it's going to be a time. There's going to be a time. It's a set time. It's a time. I'm going to be suffering this long. And what's he say? But be faithful. Even if you die, I'll give you a crown of life. I'm going to turn your thoughts around here. This has hit me this week, and I thought, wow, I never thought about it this way. How many people here have had God save your life one time? You should have been dead, but you're not. Two times. You should have been dead, but you're not. How many times you don't even know about, you should have been dead, but you're not. You're still sitting here. Wow. These people are going to stay loyal to God. They're not going to denounce their faith. They're going to say, I'm loyal to Christ. I'm not going to denounce my faith. And they're going to kill them. You're going to die. You're going to die. When you get to heaven, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can you imagine being ushered into the very presence of the Almighty God by angels and power, and nothing hurts? And I don't get tired? And I'm happy? And I can sing like an angel instead of an old gubby like me? Huh? Huh? Isn't that cool? Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good, doesn't it? Can you imagine being in the presence of the Almighty God and you got this crown? Put this crown on you. The crown of life. I believe this crown of life. I don't know. I've never seen anybody saying about it. I believe this crown of life is some. When I see you in heaven, you're going to have that crown on. Man, you had a rough life. It ain't going to be a pity party. It's like, yeah, see that crown? You see what God brought me through? You see how He's working my life? You see all this stuff? You see what's going on? And all those times you kept me from dying, I could have been in heaven sooner. I could have been in heaven sooner. Be dead in heaven. Woo-hoo-hoo, yippee. Can you imagine? I thought, Preston, man, sure glad I didn't get killed on that one. Man, I'd be in the presence of God. Right? We think about it wrong. We don't look at it from a heavenly standpoint. You know what that crown you wear around? It ain't going to be if you like, it's my crown. No. You get in the presence of the Almighty God, you're going to take that crown, you're going to lay at His feet, and you're going to say, thank you, Father, for bringing me through everything. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We think about it totally wrong. We're so stuck in this life. It hurts when people go home to be with the Lord. It hurts. I know. It hurts. But they got it made. Huh? all the trials that they have suffered in his life, they got it made. Huh? Can you imagine heaven? John, he tried to write some words and stuff. Yeah, it'd be the same as you and I seeing something you never saw before and think, well, it kind of looks like that, and it kind of, you know, that's what John did. He said it was just jasper, all these colors, and the pavement was gold, but it was clear. You could see through it, and all the stuff, and it's like, can you imagine seeing that? Can you imagine being there? No, we can't. We're stuck in this old world. We worry about this world. We got to be careful that nothing satisfies us more than God. We have to be careful in our trials that we stand up under them. Even when sometimes we don't want to. Even when you think you're at the end of your rope. Even when you can't go on. Patience, wow. Patience is a virtue. You ever hear that one? The person that said that needs to punch right in the mouth, don't they? Huh? They need to punch right in the mouth. Patience is a virtue. What are they talking about? Patience! Huh? How much do I got to have? Sometimes, a lot. You know what? God won't ask you to do anything that He doesn't supply you. God will not ask you to do anything that He will not supply. Isn't that cool? I can't talk to people. I could have said that 25 years ago. Now I got the biggest mouth in the county. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't talk to people 20 years ago. God knew where He was taking me. I didn't. I didn't like it. It wasn't a happy journey. I didn't like being up here. I didn't like being in front of people. I was nervous. I still get sweaty palms. Huh? But I have learned that when you start speaking to people, talking about God, He shows up. Isn't that cool? Even though when I study something like this, like, where in the world is that? Go. Huh? Seen a little statement this week I thought was kind of cute. He says, without God, you can't. Without God, you can't. Without God, you cannot. He said, without you, God won't. Without you, God won't. You got to be willing. Wow. And is it a hard road? You think that's going to make your crown bigger? I don't know. This crown of life, I believe, is the sum total of all the trials, tribulations, and trouble you go through on this earth. You're going to have that crown. And that crown is not going to be for you to say, ooh, look at me. No. No. That crown is going to be saying, you know what? God brought you through all that stuff. Look at that. Yeah, He did. That's what it's going to be. Our thought process is wrong. We want to stay here. I like it here. Air conditioned, cool, nice. Maybe cold for some, other times, cool. I'm sweaty because I'm up here running around like a chicken, but you know what I'm saying? It's nice. This is kind of nice and comfortable, right? Got a vehicle to drive home in, don't got to walk home. It's pretty nice. This is nice, isn't it, right? No, it's nice, huh? Can you imagine never having to worry about temperature again? Ever? Be comfortable all the time. That's pretty hard to imagine, isn't it? Can you imagine thinking about being something there and being there? Thinking about somewhere and being there? You guys talking? Hey, where'd you come from? How you guys doing? You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be cool? Huh? We have no grasp. We have no grasp of what it's like in this world. We don't. Trials we suffer. Trials you suffer, building a crown. You gotta be faithful. Trials you suffer, building a crown. You're going to wear and you can place that crown at Jesus' feet. Isn't that something? And thank Him for all He did to get you through all that stuff. I think that's going to be a good memory for us. He took you through all that stuff and all that stuff. And He said, I brought you through. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Idols, trials, crown. That's how they tie together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, I pray that what was said needs to be said, Father, and Son falls on open hearts and minds while we just receive what You have to give us this morning. I thank You for giving it to me, Father. You gave it to me when I needed it, and I just praise You for it. You're a God, and I just have to thank You for all You do, what You do, and I just ask a special blessing on each and every one here at this church, Father, that Your hand will be upon them, Your love will be poured out upon them, their Your grace, your mercy is poured out on them already. They would understand it is you, and you love them. We just thank you, Father. We praise you. Father, just allow this to enlighten our minds and our hearts so we can live eventful, virtuous lives for you. Father, we just praise you and thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise band comes forward, and the elders come forward. We're going to have a time of invitation, we call it. It's time to allow you to come forward and ask for